Good morning, everybody. Hey, it's about 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And, wow, this is the second morning coffee notes coming to you this morning. And just buzzing with all kinds of ideas. This is the road trip mentality. You get the, the weather today is just, it's just perfect. It's gorgeous. I started driving at about 6 a.m. and that was about an hour before sunrise. And it was foggy. You could tell that there was this like really thick fog. The clouds were like, the fog was like anywhere from 20, 30 feet overhead to like right on the ground. And you could just tell that it was going to be a spectacular sunrise. And it was. And I stopped and took some pictures of the sun and the fog and the trees in South Carolina off Interstate 95. And right now I'm at the very top of South Carolina, northern South Carolina, which is where, if you've ever taken this trip, where the world famous South of the Border is. And so all the signs, maybe five of them per mile. There's two right there. Three. It's signs for South of the Border. They're all kind of cute. They've got the Pedro, who is their mascot or symbol or spokesmodel or whatever. And, they have a ad agency or in-house ad agency or whatever that, you know, comes up with sort of cute little lines. And it's a ritual. Basically, not so much come in this direction, but in the other direction. In fact, if you think of the name, South of the Border, what that really means is it's south of the border between North Carolina and South Carolina. Kind of really only makes sense when you're coming north to south. And it's for people. I mean, there's a lot of traffic that goes from the northeast to Florida. And this is the route that you go if you're going from either New York or Boston, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., anywhere in New England. This is the route that you go to get to Florida in the warm weather. And speaking of which, warm weather, we got 68 degrees here. They're forecasting rain for this afternoon, so and then thundershowers tonight, and God knows what happens after that. I've got a sort of a moving target here because, of course, I'm going north, and I'm just telling you what the weather forecast was for northern Georgia and southern South Carolina, because that was the last time I was listening to the radio. Whatever they're forecasting for North Carolina probably doesn't much matter because I'm going to try to get all the way across the state and get myself into Virginia for tomorrow, because really just realized when I made my hotel reservations for D.C. Last night, the rates are pretty good up until Monday, at which time the rates sort of go into the stratosphere. And so I did a little bit of, I looked at the, they have on Expedia a place where you can click to find out if your dates are flexible, see what the rates are like other weeks. And this week the rates are low, and the week after next the rates are low, but next week the rates are high. And that, of course, is because that's the inauguration. This is the one week out of the four, every 4 years, that the city of Washington, D.C. becomes the sort of focal point. It's like the Super Bowl or Mardi Gras or whatever. It's like every hotel room in town. You can get hotel rooms. It's but the rates are like way, way high. So I'm going to be in Washington Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night, and heading north. And I do have to be in Boston by Thursday night. So you sort of figure it out. I have 3 nights in Washington, and that's about all I can do. And I'm going to hang out with Nico and the guys at Echo Ditto. And we're coming up to South of the Border now. I see a big sombrero, sort of like Space Needle type structure. It looks like a big sombrero. You know, I used to, when I did this, I hitchhiked this route quite a few times from New York to Florida when I was a kid, teenager. And I remember south of the border, there it is. Yep, that's it. The sign says south of the border, exit one, exit one. That must mean 1 mile into South Carolina, which, folks, you're going to be with me when I go into North Carolina. Anyway, I don't know if you can hear the, let's see if I can get the, yeah, oh, wow. It's interesting. I just turned up the volume on my headphones. I was wondering, let's listen to this. Oh, there we go. We're up just in time for it to check out. Hey, folks, actually, I got news for you. Yeah, south of the border is just over the border, but there's part of it which is on the other side. Here we go. And that's right, the sun. Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. You know, you don't know anything about what I just did, but I turned the monitor on. Now my headphones are live and I can hear the room noise. I'm in my car, of course. Studio RX 300. And I got in the mood to do a podcast for some reason when the Beatles came on. And I'm going to stick my camera out the window and take a little movie so you can see how incredibly green it is here in North Carolina. I mean, not that there's any difference between the color of both of the two states. They're, of course, you know, but kind of pretty. I don't know if the movie will ship. I try to do one movie every day. And one of the things I've learned is that the movies out the side of the car sort of are pretty interesting. You know, as you see features just sort of rush by you really, really quickly. And it's always my favorite part when I'm watching it. And it's a little scary because your point of view goes out the window. And you sort of, I put you in the groove of, okay, you're driving. I even pass a car sometimes, you know. And it probably looks from the point of view. Now, you're in, on right on the steering wheel is where your eyes are. And so every little turn of the wheel is a little sort of jitter. It moves. The camera, of course. And I'm going to turn the music down here because I'm not sure y'all can hear me. Here, let me adjust the microphone too. Is that better? Anyway, yeah, probably answer my own question. We're 48 miles from Fayetteville, North Carolina. This is where John Edwards comes from. I can't imitate the way he talks. It's very distinctive. Ooh, more green. Very pretty here. Anyway, I feel like I'm on a vector pointing straight north into the northeast, right into the heart of the government, business, and education centers of the great old USA. And I know that this weather won't last, that it will just, it's probably just a matter of hours before the long underwear comes out. Actually, gotta make a confession. I don't actually have any long underwear. But there's always Target, and I can always stop and get some. Anyway, I had a really first sort of rude thing, new level of cell phone rudeness. I was doing my business in the bathroom at a rest stop, and all of a sudden this guy starts yelling, and I go, whoa, is there, like, they're having a conversation in the bathroom at, like, wow, he's yelling. And this goes on for like a minute. Finally, I figure out it's a one-sided conversation. He pauses. It gets silent. Then he commences yelling again. Guess what? Oh, fuck. I just got cut off by a huge truck. Anyway, I'm all right. Guess what? The motherfucker was talking on his cell phone in the fucking bathroom. I mean, that's like the last... I just wonder if the people he's talking to know he's doing that. I almost felt like yelling out loud, although I haven't can get up the nerve to yell out loud, would you mind toning it down here in the cell phone? You know, this is a bathroom. Or, you know, making some like kind of awful sound off of body sound or whatever. And, unfucking real. I mean, where is there no limit to the... Anyway. Just thought I'd mention that. I got really, psyched this morning doing the morning coffee notes about the conference at Harvard and integrity and credibility and stuff like that. And, I kind of wonder what's going to happen if Alex Jones listens to that. Wouldn't it be cool if Alex Jones, Alex is the director of Shorenstein, the guy who's taken what I think are some very cheap shots at bloggers. You know, it's one thing to take it, to say, have a strong opinion where people are present so that, you know, they can, you can see their faces as you tell them that they have no integrity. You might temper your point of view a little bit when you can do that. And Alex, I had a debate with him at a lunch at Henrietta's table at the Charles Hotel in Cambridge. And it was quite enjoyable. He's a very smart guy. He represents the opposing point of view very well. You know, if there is an opposing point of view. The professional reporters don't like bloggers. I mean, that's sort of, you know, there may be exceptions. It may be that as long as we're in our place, they don't mind us. But of course, we don't know our place, and we're not going to accept any limits. So I really hope that some of that comes out at this conference, and that we have a chance to look at it and maybe adjust our point of view a little bit and find some ways that we can, like, cooperate. You know, it's true that blogging is young, but that doesn't mean that the bloggers are young. You know, myself, in May of this year, I'm going to be getting my AARP card so I can get another level of discount when I go to these hotels. And they're, you know, everywhere I go, they call me sir. I've got a gray beard, you know. I'm not, like, really old yet, but I'm getting there. And so, you know, I'm pretty much feeling like I'm an expert at what I do. And that includes not just technology, even though I understand that a lot of people just think that, well, if you're a programmer, that's like all you can do. We're never going to let you say anything outside of programming. We don't have to listen to you. But, you know, the kind of programming I do is very, very driven, very motivated by the application. And the application, concisely put, has become blogging and then podcasting, and before that, it was outlining and just tools for people to express themselves. And why are these the tools that I made? Well, these are the tools that I need to express myself. And the happy coincidence is that, you know, being a human being, well, a lot of other people find that they can express themselves the same way. And it leads to a new kind of communication. And I love exploring new things. I am not the kind of person who gets on somebody else's ladder and climbs it. I like building the ladder as I go. And I know that's unusual. And I know that for some people, it's really hard to acknowledge that you could actually do that. You could create something that way. But, you know, don't the facts speak for themselves? I think they do. I think that it's pretty obvious that we're doing something new, and it's not going to be going away anytime soon. I know John Markoff at the New York Times likens it to CB radio, but it keeps branching out and keeps going in new directions, and I don't think CB radio ever did that. I think it was sort of like, this is a more like desktop publishing, and did desktop publishing go away? I don't think so. I think we're still doing it. Note that Apple just released a new page layout program earlier this week. Too much much interest by people. It maybe is not the most of the three things they announced. It may not be the most interesting, but it's certainly interesting, and I think people are paying attention. They still sell printers, laser printers. You know, it's no longer state of the art because we use the web now to do a lot of our printing, but sometimes you do need to print out a web page, something with an itinerary or a schedule or something that is going with you. A printer can be a nice thing to have. I have a printer in the back seat of my car, and I do use it from time to time. When I'm situated in one place for a while, I take it out, install it, and if I need to write down directions, I don't write them down. I just print them out and take the piece of paper with me. It's a way of making data from a computer or from the network a little bit portable. And all of what we learned in desktop publishing I won't say all of it, but certainly a lot of what we've learned in desktop publishing has been applied in today's personal computer usage. That was not CB radio, and blogging is not CB radio either, nor is podcasting. That would be like saying radio is like CB radio, or like the New York Times is like CB radio. Sorry, I don't think so. Anyway, so what I'm hoping for is respect, and that should be mutual, and perhaps an idea that the blogs are written by bloggers, and bloggers are people, not symbols. And we share, I think I said this earlier today, I think that our shared value when we're doing our jobs well, our shared value is a passion for the truth, passion for information. It's like the same thing that librarians have and the same thing that good programmers have. I mean, I know there must be bad librarians, and I certainly know there are bad programmers who are not interested in the truth, and that's like a baseball player that throws the ball in the stands instead of throwing it to first base. That's not really a programmer. Programmers have a passion for the truth. I mean, it's like, look at what underlies everything, even like the most pragmatic financial calculations inside of a computer, all ultimately boil down to ones and zeros, binary, true or false, and then transformations on various more complicated operations. But ultimately, when you get right down to it, they're all like AND gates and OR gates and NOR gates and NAND gates. I mean, they're all just different forms of logical operations, truth is at the core of what we do, as is false. And there's philosophy. When you find yourself dealing exclusively in truth and falsehood, you find that philosophy isn't far behind. And programming, the hard part of programming, the easy part, is understanding how the operations work. The hard part of programming is understanding how you work. Because, when you get a chance to do a post-mortem on why that piece of software broke, or why it took you 18 hours to debug something that if only you had been able, your mind had been more flexible, you might have solved it in a minute. Why is that? And that's because we see what we want to see. We see what we expect to see. When we look at a piece of code that isn't working, what we see is the code we thought we wrote, not the code we actually wrote. Once you can get past that and see the code that you actually wrote, you can fix the bug and move on. Until then, you can't. And that's why programmers have an appreciation for the truth, because you can't go home until you find the truth. You can't have dinner. You can't go out for a break. I mean, you can do all those things, but you're going to have to come back and deal with it. And so, on the other hand, conversely, if this is something I learned from playing, from doing crosswords. I love crosswords, and I'm getting, I'm learning how to do crosswords. So I'm now at the point where I can always finish the New York Times Monday crossword. I pretty often can finish the Tuesdays. And Wednesday, you know, they get harder through the week. I don't know if people know this, but like the Saturday crossword is like the most humbling experience. It's like, I don't know. I'd love to meet somebody who can finish that every day. I know Bill Clinton claims he can do it. Maybe he can. I'm sure Bill Clinton's a really smart guy. The beauty and thing about it is that one way to find... to finish a crossword puzzle, let's say you're down to, like, I don't know, you filled in like three out of the four corners and you've got most of the middle, and you know, crossword puzzles have, you know, a top left, a mid left, a bottom left. It's like there are nine different segments and a bottom, well, maybe not nine, that can't be right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Oh. Maybe it's eight. I'd have to get a piece of paper and count it that way, but it doesn't matter. There's a common pattern, and sometimes they break them, but not too often. Usually they lay out that way. Three across the top, three down each of the sides, three sections down each of the sides, and three across the bottom, and something happening in the middle. So, well, let's say you've got all but two of the segments filled in, and you got a beginning at each of the two, but you just can't get it. You just don't know the answers to the other things. And so you can look at the puzzle, and this I used to do. It was like my first sort of pass at crosswords, which lasted quite a few years. I would just say, well, you know, that's it. I can't finish this puzzle. But you know what? It's not over yet. What you do is you put the puzzle down. You go out for a walk, or you go to the movie, do a movie, or you go out to lunch, or, you know, you go do something else and take your mind off the crossword puzzle. And then you come back, and it's amazing how many times you finish the puzzle right off the bat. And so, like, you ask yourself, why was I able to do that? And I don't fully know. I think somewhat your mind, whether you're aware of it or not, is working on the puzzle while you're just walking around doing your everyday things. It's a subconscious thing. It could also be that the relaxation, you come back and, you know, it's all fresh, the problems, and that the hunkering down is not a good way to solve problems. You know, it's sort of like we get caught up in the production of it. You know, if like you're digging a hole, it just takes a certain number of shovel strokes to dig the hole. And, you know, you do those number of strokes, and it doesn't make a difference whether you do them in one session or two. It's just you've got to do that amount of shoveling to create the hole. But problem solving isn't like that. Problem solving involves... you know, like I said, the problem that takes you 5 hours to figure out what the solution is could have been solved in 1 minute if you had managed your brain well enough. Of course, this is something that business people don't understand. This is where the sort of mythical man month idea, exposing that myth that there is such a thing in programming as a man month. That's where that came from. Programming isn't like that. Programming isn't an hourly thing. It's a bunch more complicated than that. So very often when you come back to the crossword puzzle, you finish it. The puzzle that was impossible, that you couldn't figure out at all of a sudden, you figure it out right away. So same thing's true with a problem with the program. As much as you don't want to get up until you have the problem solved, very often the best thing to do is to get up and get out and go do something else, clear your mind, and come back and try it again. And at that point, now when you look at the code, You may not see the code that you think you wrote. You may see the code you actually wrote. I wrote the piece called Programmers in, I think it was 1997. In that piece I talk about, there's a quirk in Frontier. And, you know, it's one of these things where, yeah, it kind of makes sense. And, but, you know, if you had to do it all over again, you might have made it work differently. But to fix it now would be, you know, you'd break a lot of things if you did. But it works like this. Let's say you have a string and a number. And let's say the string contains a character 1 followed by character 5, right? And you have a number that's the number 2. So let's say you add the number, the value that has the variable that has 2 in it to the variable that has the string 1 and 5. Well, as you're debugging that, and you even like look at the values, you know, set a breakpoint and you know, then check it out. What you'll see is 2 and 15. And you say, well, 2 plus 15 is 17, right? But it's not. It's 215. Because what happens is it has a mixed type, and it has to coerce that string. Well, you want it to coerce the string to a number. Your mind automatically does that because your mind sees a number. It doesn't notice that in the right-hand column, the type is string. And you go, what? 2 plus 15 equals 215? So when you're reading the code, now, of course, at that moment, you realize what's going on. You go, oh, my God, I can't believe it. I got bit by that again, because I got to tell you something. That is something that you get bit by. You know, what you have to do is instead of saying A plus B, you have to say A plus number of B. And that would coerce the string to a number, and then you would get the 17 that you expect. But when you're looking at the code, you see A plus B, and you say, I don't see, that looks right, amongst the 50 other lines of code that you're looking at. You just skip right over that one. It looks right. But until you start questioning the assumptions of every single statement in there, you're never going to get the answer. So that's why programmers that produce shipping products that people like, that work, that don't lose data all the time, are people who have also got a very fine appreciation for truth, because programs are made out of truth. You know, you can't lie to a compiler, garbage in, garbage out. I know I'm probably repeating myself. I'm sure I've done this in a morning coffee notes before, but it's pretty important stuff. And I know I repeat it to myself all the time. And why? Because I relearn the lessons all the time. There's a certain point where you just can't get any better as a programmer, and you make the mistakes repeatedly. And I find also that teaching is very good for me, because I learn, you know, they say you teach what you need most to learn. And for me, you know, the discipline of exploring truth, you know, that's the better I am at that, the happier. I just enjoy it. It's just pleasurable to me to have an aha moment, or to finish a crossword puzzle and to know that I got it right. It's just a purely enjoyable thing. Anyway, been going now for almost 30 minutes. I guess I didn't have... The only epiphany I had today was the guy talking on the cell phone in the bathroom at the rest stop. I thought that was worth mentioning. Tell your friends, if you hear this, tell your friends that, believe me, you haven't heard it. You haven't, like... Well, whatever. I mean, I had never heard of people doing this before. And you know what? I would love it if they put a sign on the door that says, well, right alongside no smoking is like no cell phones. And by the way, the one more thing I want to mention, I'm going to have to get off the freeway here to turn this, turn the podcast off. But I don't know what this sound is. I guess that's the car in front of me. Yeah, it is, because I'm letting him gain some distance on me. But What was I going to say? Yeah, they can, like, make... they can make cell phones not work in places. You don't need to put up a sign that says no cell phone. There are devices they can install that keep cell phones from working altogether. And so, bathrooms. If you work in state government and you run rest areas, please, let's install some of those in bathrooms before this gets out of hand. So, I'm going to keep talking for just a bit here. I'll tell you what, let's go through the radio and see. Nah, fuck it. Sorry. Oops. Not like this is a family channel or anything. I'm going to go to the right here. Right. And I'm going to go get some iced tea, folks. Maybe, just maybe, this is a McDonald's. Oh my God, wouldn't it be cool if this was a McDonald's that had Wi-Fi? Yeah, except I really don't have the time. You know, did I mention that I'm like making a beeline? I'm trying to really put some miles on today because I think the weather is about to change and I hate driving in bad weather. And right now the weather still is absolutely marvelous. So I'm pulling into McDonald's here. I don't even know where the hell I am, but I will be able to tell you where I am very shortly. Oh, there's no parking spaces. Maybe, yeah, there's one right back here. Got it. Yeah, maybe we got a spot. Oh, yeah, we got lots of spots. Just turn the corner. It's funny how people never go all the way around. So there's a spot right here, right at the front. I'm stopping right now, and let's see if we got a Wi-Fi signal. Okay, I'm turning the engine off. Should get really quiet now. Here, let's try rolling down the window. See if we get some outdoor sounds coming in. When the next truck comes by, I'm going to roll the window up so you can hear how quiet this car is. I think it's pretty quiet. Ding, ding, ding. Bing, 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 bing. It's still pretty hot here. Turn the car off, roll the windows down. It's like steamy. What is it? January 13th? Gotta love it. Totally gotta love it. It's great. Here comes something, maybe. Yeah, here we go. Oh, window doesn't want to go up. Well, so much for that experiment. Okay, let's try rolling this one up. So let's see if we got Wi-Fi here. If we do, maybe I will upload Morning Coffee Notes number 2 for the day. Let's see. This is a Windows XP machine. View available wireless networks. Huh, interesting. I do a little configuring. You know, it's Windows, right? Nothing ever is like as straightforward. You know, the whole ritual of learning Windows is learning how to do things that really ought to be a lot simpler. Yeah, I got a big green thing down here, folks. Wayport. We are at a McDonald's, everybody, that has Wi-Fi, and I got it sitting here in my car. So, I am going to upload this. I'm going to take the time right now to get myself set up for Wayport and get this mofo uploaded. And we're now in the new McDonald's era, folks. So anyway, this is Dave Weiner coming to you from somewhere in southern North Carolina at a McDonald's. If you're hearing this before the evening on the 13th, then the Wi-Fi worked. If not, then it didn't. And see y'all at www.scripting.com, and you can subscribe at www.scripting.com/rss.xml. So thanks very much for tuning in, and we'll see you again next time. Bye.